As soon as Bohr arrived in Manchester, Rutherford wrote to a friend, "Bohr, a Dane, has pulled out of Cambridge and turned up here to get some experience in radioactive work." Yet there was nothing in what Bohr had done to date to suggest that he was any different from the other eager young men in his laboratory, except the fact that he was a theorist. Rutherford held a generally low opinion of theorists and never lost an opportunity to air it. "They play games with their symbols," he once told a colleague, "but we turn out the real solid facts of nature." On another occasion, when invited to deliver a lecture on the trends of modern physics, he replied, "I can't give a paper on that. They would only take 2 minutes. All I could say would be that the theoretical physicists have got their tails up, and it is time that we experimentalists pulled them down again." Yet, he had immediately liked the 26-year-old Dane. "Bohr's different," he would say. "He's a football player." Late every afternoon, work in the laboratory stopped as the research students and staff gathered to chat over tea, cakes, and slices of bread and butter. Rutherford would be there, sitting on a stool with plenty to say, whatever the subject. But most of the time the talk was simply of physics, particularly of the atom and radioactivity. Rutherford had succeeded in creating a culture where there was an almost tangible sense of discovery in the air, where ideas were openly exchanged and discussed in the spirit of cooperation, with no one afraid to speak, even a newcomer. At its center was Rutherford, who Bohr knew was always prepared to listen to every young man when he felt he had any idea, however modest, on his mind. The only thing Rutherford could not stand was pompous talk. Bohr loved to talk. Unlike Einstein, who spoke and wrote fluently, Bohr frequently paused as he struggled to find the right words to express himself, whether in Danish, English, or German. When Bohr spoke, he was often only thinking aloud in search of clarity. It was during the tea breaks that he got to know the Hungarian Georg von Hevesi, who would win the 1943 Nobel Prize for Chemistry for developing the technique of radioactive tracing that was to become a powerful diagnostic tool in medicine with widespread applications in chemical and biological research. Strangers in a strange country, speaking a language that both had yet to master, the pair formed an easy friendship that lasted a lifetime. "He knew how to be helpful to a foreigner," Bohr said as he recalled how Hevesi, only a few months older, helped him ease into the life of the laboratory. It was during their conversations that Bohr first began to focus on the atom, as Hevesi explained that so many radioactive elements had been discovered that there was not enough room to accommodate them all in the periodic table. The very names given to these radio elements spawned in the process of radioactive disintegration of one atom into another captured the sense of uncertainty and confusion surrounding their true place within the atomic realm. Uranium-X, actinium-B, thorium-C. But there was, Hevesi told Bohr, a possible solution proposed by Rutherford's former Montreal collaborator, Frederick Soddy. This audiobook is continued on Disc 4.